Good evening. Did you know who won the boxing? What a joy it is to be back here again. And today is supposed to be a day of prayer for the persecuted church. This is a worldwide movement where we gather together and pray for the Christians all over the persecuted countries. You and I should be happy in the Philippines. We have freedom. Freedom to share the gospel, freedom to gather here, freedom to sing. Let's praise God for our freedom, okay? But then on the other hand, we need to think of our brethren who are suffering. I was surprised to find out more people have been tortured and killed in the last 100 years than in the past 1,900 years. Shocking. Let's read our scripture first before we pray for them. Philippians chapter 2. You have your Bibles with you? Okay. Turn your Bibles, please. Philippians chapter 2. Let's read together. This is our continuing series on humility. So if you don't mind, let's all stand up and read together. Philippians 2, verses 3 down. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, what a joy it is to be gathered together, to worship you, to enjoy the freedom of singing, reading the Bible, fellowshipping with other believers. And now we think of our brethren who are suffering in many parts of the world. Tortured for Christ, killed for Christ. Lord, many countries don't have freedom of religion. Many countries don't allow their people to choose what they want to believe. So I pray that somehow you will protect the leaders of the Christian movement and prepare them and strengthen them. We also thank you for the singles retreat. We thank you for the many who have been touched by the gospel. I pray that the seeds planted will not go to waste. We also thank you for this country, for the freedom that we enjoy. Therefore, we want to pray for our president, for our government leaders, that you will give them wisdom, how to lead us wisely. Give our president a strong heart to fight graft and corruption. Surround him with good people. And Lord, those that are evil, those that are selfish, will you just expose it? Lord, we want real change. So intervene supernaturally. Use your people. Use us. No matter in how small, we can have an impact in this country. And now I pray once again for our building project. I thank you for the worship training center. I thank you for the progress. I thank you for the architect. I thank you for all the people that are working together for this. Continue to bless it, cause it to be completed with the best design, with the best furnitures. Give us all wisdom. And now I commit to you, everybody here, those that are discouraged, those that are helped, those that are feeling helpless, that you will speak to all of us. Strengthen us and guide me as I give the message today. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. By the way, if you are our guest, we have a special room dedicated for you. You need counseling, you need prayer. Go to that room where I'm pointing. Some of you, you like to come for counseling. You like to see me after. But the reality is, counseling takes time. I want to do justice. So we have people that will help you. If they cannot help you, they will set an appointment to help you. In right there where I'm pointing, that room. In the meantime, let me give you an exam to see how you answer. You can only answer yes or no. And you got to whisper to your neighbor. Let's practice. Say yes. Practice saying no. All right. Test number one. All right. Are you ready? Personal evaluation. Do you tend to cut off those who ignore you? You got to whisper to your neighbor, right? Number two. Are you hurt when those whom you dislike are honored? Do you find it difficult to admit you are wrong? Do you inwardly react when people criticize you? Do you enjoy sharing about your accomplishments? Do you talk more than you listen? Are you more concerned about your reputation or God's? Okay. Do you react when you do not receive credit? That's you. Okay. Humility is a strange thing. The moment that you think you have acquired it is just the moment you have lost it. If you answered any of the above yes, that means you need to keep working. How many of you have arrived at humility? Raise your hand. You know, somebody shared this. I do not know who gave this quotation. It's very interesting. Humility is like underwear. You should wear it, but you should not show it. In other words, don't brag how humble you are. Now, let's have a quick review. Last Sunday, we talked about a simple truth. Let's read this together. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. God is opposed to the proud, gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. The reason why God commands us to be humble is, number one, God is opposed to proud people. Will you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, God is opposed to the proud. Now, this is something that most people don't understand. But the Bible is very clear. God is opposed. He will continue to oppose. He will forever oppose proud people. The reason why you should be humble, number two, is God gives grace to the humble. Say that with me. God gives grace to the humble. Now, the word grace simply means unmerited favor. It is not just salvation. Grace is the power and the desire to live righteously. Grace is the power that God gives you. Grace is the desire that God gives you to live righteously. Now, you and I need grace, especially when you are persecuted. I need help when I'm under pressure. The Bible says, humble yourselves. And then, verse 6 tells us, therefore, he summarizes again, everybody, therefore, humble yourselves. Why? If you don't humble yourselves, you will be humbled. To be humbled by others is to be humiliated. To be humbled by others is not pleasant. So God is saying, better learn to humble yourselves. And then he tells you something. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that what? He may exalt you at the proper time. This is an amazing promise. God is saying He will exalt you at the proper time. On what condition? Humble yourselves. Will you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, be humble. Are you sure you have looked at them in the eyes? Look at them in the eyes and tell them, be humble. Please, be humble. Okay? We need to remind ourselves, be humble. Now, I have many examples I gave you last week. I want to share with you this week the beauty of humility, how God will give you grace. I want to talk about a king in the Old Testament by the name of King Manasseh. King Manasseh was a very bad king. You and I will not like him. Here is the story. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 5. King Manasseh built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. This king was guilty of idolatry. The worst kind of idolatry, building images, idols, in the temple of the Lord. And then verse 6, he made his sons pass through the fire in the valley of Ben Hinnom. And he practiced witchcraft, divination, sorcery, dealt with mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. How would you feel if God were to ask you, what will you tell this guy? What will you tell this king? Will you tell him to change? Is he a good king or a bad king in your mind? Awful. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. You see, proud people don't listen. Proud people don't want to change. Proud people get angry when they are corrected. Proud people think they know everything. That's why I have told you again and again, the root sin, the sin of pride, is a root sin. It's one of those root sins. It will produce many other sins. Stubbornness. It will produce rebellion. It will produce a hardened heart because of pride. Therefore, remember the principle, either you humble yourself and listen, or God will humble you. God knows how to humble people. Therefore, the Lord brought the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria against them. They captured Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze chains, and took him to Babylon. Imagine, with hooks. Where was the hook placed? On his nose? On his mouth? This is something humiliating. Now, you will learn something about the amazing truth. That when you are stubborn, when you are proud, God will oppose you. But it is never too late to change. But it's later than you think. Let's read this together. When he was in distress, he entreated the Lord, his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. You know, I realized something. It's never too late to humble yourself. Humanly speaking, you may no longer forgive somebody. But you know, with God, it's amazing. God has a soft heart. I have learned something about humility. Humble people who are beginning to be humbled will start praying. Proud people do not pray. Proud people don't take prayer seriously. Proud people think they can solve the problems themselves. And that's why I look forward on Tuesday night. I try to bring my group to come here for prayer. Now, if you cannot come, you are having your own D group meetings. Have a prayer time every week. You get together, you pray with each other. There is something about praying together. Now, the Bible tells us this guy prayed. And look at verse 13. When he prayed to him, God was moved by his entreaty and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. You learn something about God. God has a particular soft spot when it comes to people who are humble. You know, God responds to humble people. If you will learn this principle for the rest of your life, that God has a special place for humble people. It does not matter what you have done in the past, provided you are willing to humble yourself. When you humble yourself, that means you are repenting. That means you're admitting you are wrong. That means you are no longer playing games with God. That means you are saying, Lord, I am wrong. You submit yourselves to God's mercy. And the most amazing thing happened. God has compassion to humble people. Now, humanly speaking, I am just imagining if you are a husband or a wife or a father, and your son has done bad things against you, and then he kept on slandering you, and finally, when he is no longer any place to run, he is completely hopeless, then he comes to you. Be honest with me. What will you do with a person like that? I know what you're saying in Tagalog. Ano ka ba? Ngayon ka lang may kailangan, pupunta ka sa akin. Pag wala kang kailangan, hindi ka pupunta sa akin. In English, you come to me when you need help. You don't come to me when you don't need help. You don't bother me. Why are you bothering me right now? Because you need help? Are you surprised God is not like that? Why? God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Shall we memorize that verse? All right. God is opposed to the proud, gives grace to the humble. Amazing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. So, today I will now teach you how to humble yourself. Would you like to learn how to humble yourself? We have discussed the why of humility. Why? And now I want to share with you how. Let's read this together. Be humble like Christ. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, be humble like Christ. Yeah. Be humble like Christ. Not just be humble. Be humble like Christ. The standard is Christ. Two important words to be like Christ. When you are going to be humble like Christ, just remember what Christ did. Number one, Christ surrendered his rights. The Bible said he surrendered his rights. Remember, he was God. He was willing to give up all the privileges of being God. So that's called surrender. Surrender to God, surrendering your rights. And number two, he came to serve. A humble person is somebody who has surrendered his rights. He is not very picky. He is not very sensitive because he has surrendered his rights to the Lord. And he begins to serve others. That's how you practice humility. Now, humility is not natural. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Let's begin. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, before you fall asleep, you know, I have super vision. I can tell if somebody's about to fall asleep. Perhaps you've been working the whole day. You're in a call center. I just want you to wake up now. Now, listen to me now. Look at this verse. Do nothing from what? Selfishness or empty conceit. You have to know the background of this verse. Philippians chapter 2 was written because the Philippian church, the church at Philippi, was at the brink of division. There were two women fighting. These two women were leaders. These two women were Bible women. They were like missionaries. They were serving the Lord. It is found in Philippians chapter 4. The first one is the name of Euodia. The second one is Syntyche. It doesn't matter how you pronounce her name. Syntyche, Syntyche, whatever. Okay? The point is, they were fighting. And Paul is telling the whole church, do nothing from selfishness. In chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Paul is saying, if you want me to be happy, I want all of you to be united. That's verse 1 and 2. I want all of you to live in harmony. Why? Because pride breeds divisions. Humility is the secret of unity. If people are fighting one another, listen to me now, even in your family, if there is disagreement, if there is quarrel, the solution is always humility. Because pride will protract the fighting. Pride is the breeding ground of confrontations. Pride will say, you are wrong. Pride will always blame others. But with humility, there will be real reconciliation. You know why? You don't blame anybody else. You say, you know what? I am at fault. That's humility. You try practicing this at home. be humble. There will be unity. You see, unity brings harmony. Pride brings what? Division. Any organization, any family, any church that has split, that has division, that has fighting, pride is present. So the solution is humility. That's what the context of Philippians 2 is all about. So he tells us, do nothing from selfishness. By nature, I'm selfish. I don't know about you. Something's wrong with me. Perhaps I'm the only one who is selfish. Are you guys selfish by nature? That's me. The Bible says, with humility of mind, everybody read that, regard one another as more important. What does that mean? It does not mean you look down on yourself. It does not mean you are inferior. It means to defer to each other as somebody more important. You give them respect. I saw this in action when we were in the Holy Land. You know, when we visit different sites in Israel, many times the seats are limited. But I noticed young people, they learn something. When they see older people, the young people will stand up and say, please, sit down. Why are they doing that? The Bible is saying, be humble, consider others more important. So, when you leave this worship service tonight, you are all going to line up in the elevators. Yes or no? You'll be lining up. May I suggest, when you see older people, or when you see others, is it okay if you humble yourself and say, please? Unless you really have to be there, okay? Then you can say, excuse me, I'm always in a hurry. But that's the idea. Now, this mother wanted to teach his two children the meaning of to be like Christ. The meaning of humility. The meaning of, look at verse 4. Everybody read. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. The Bible is not saying, don't think of your own interest. But the Bible says, don't think of your own interest only. Think of others. To be humble, you have to be intentional. So just put that in your notes. Okay? To be humble, may I suggest how to be humble? To be like Christ, you have to be intentional. You have to say, by nature, I'm not humble, but I need to grow in this area. So this mother called his two children. Children, come to me. She wanted to teach them humility and to think of others. So she cut two pieces of apple pie. The first one was bigger. The second one was smaller. She wanted to teach them how to share. So the elder one was there. The second one was there. So I said, children, I want you to learn to be like Jesus. All right? Two pieces of apple pie. All right. You share. The first one was very smart. He immediately looked at the apple pie. He knew the first one was the biggest. And to be like Jesus means what? I have to get the smaller one and give the bigger one to my brother. But he's very smart. He loved apple pie. He immediately turned to his younger brother. Today, you will be Jesus. Well, I don't know about you, but what I'm learning is this. I need to be like Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Many Christians think they are Christian on Sunday. Monday to Friday, they don't have to act like Christian. Sorry, you don't see that in the Bible. You cannot separate Monday to Sunday to Tuesday. It's integrated. Humble people don't think less of themselves. They just think about themselves less. You see, humble people are not people who are saying, I'm no good, I'm inferior, you know, I don't have any gift. No, no. That is being proud. Always thinking of yourself. Real humble people, they think about Jesus. They think about others. Their mindset is, how can I help you? Their mindset is, how can I serve God? That's the mind of Christ. It's not focused on yourself. So stop focusing on yourself. Let's read this together. Continue. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a command now. Have this attitude. Have this mindset. like Christ, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a man. Let me explain to you. The Greek language is very rich in meaning, but the English language sometimes is limited when it comes to translation. Two important words I want you to focus on. The first one is this: who, although he existed, underline the word in your Bible, he existed in the form of God. The word existed means before there was time. Before there was time in the beginning, he existed already. Jesus did not begin 2,000 years ago. He existed, meaning eternity past. He has always been, and he will continue to be, God. The next word is the word form. The word form in the Greek language has two possible roots. The first one is called morphe. The second one is called schema. But in the English language, we translated both words as form. What's the difference? The word form in this verse is morphe. Morphe simply means the intrinsic value. It's not talking about the external form. It's talking about the intrinsic reality of somebody. For example, so you understand this. My morphe, I'm a human being. You are a human being. My schema changes. Infant, baby boy, or a young boy, teenagers, a full-grown man, an old man. That's schema. But what's my morphe? Human species, human being. Another example, flowers. A rose, what is the morphe of the rose? Flower. What's the schema? A rose can be a bud. It can be a few petals, partially open, or it can be a full-blown flower. That's the schema. But what is the nature? It's called what? Flower. The Bible says God, Jesus, existed in the form of God. He is always God. That is his nature. In the past, in the present, eternity. Comprende? Jesus never ceased to become God. He took the form of a man. In other words, there was once upon a time when Jesus was not a man. He was God. 2,000 years ago, he took what? The form of a man. So Jesus was 100% God. And then he became 100% man. Jesus was not 50% God, 50% man. Let me show you from the Bible. This is a digression. I want to teach you theology so that you will know the meaning of surrendering, the meaning of serving. Jesus had to surrender his rights in order to serve us. Look at what he went through. In the beginning, let's read this together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Who is the Word? You now allow the Bible to interpret itself. That's why I want to teach you how to study the Bible. One of the principles of interpretation is called context, and you allow the Bible to speak for itself. Who is the Word? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? The Bible tells us, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is the Word that became flesh? Louder. Jesus. So when people tell you, there are many religious groups today that tells you that Jesus is not God, that is in violation of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then he became flesh. You've got to know the Bible. And the Bible tells us, we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what does he mean by glory? I submit to you his life, his manifestation. Here's an example. The glory of Jesus. Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. In other words, Jesus, the word transfigured is from the word morphe. Jesus was, he metamorphosized. He changed. He allowed his real being to be manifested. Jesus, when he was on earth, he deliberately, consciously inhibited himself from exercising his divinity. That's the amazing truth about Jesus. Jesus was telling the Jewish people in John 8:58, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Now, Abraham was thousands of years. And Jesus was telling the Jewish people, "Before Abraham was born, I am." What is Jesus saying? The word "I am" is the name of God in the Old Testament. Yahweh. I am that I am. Remember years ago, Moses asked God, "Who are you?" And the Lord said, "Tell them, I am." "What's your name?" "I am." What's the meaning of "I am"? "I am." Meaning, "I am." Eternally, "I am." Today, "I am." A billion years from now, "I am." The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. Until you develop a high view of God and learn to copy Him, you have a problem. And then the Bible tells us, Jesus prayed this amazing prayer. He said, "Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." So Jesus is talking about his glory before the world was created. So Jesus is telling us he was God, he surrendered his rights, and he became a man. No wonder the Bible tells us the Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you being a man, make yourself out to be God." Now you see what the Bible is talking about. He was God. For our sake, he became man. This is an amazing truth that I hope you will comprehend this, so that you will learn to follow Jesus. You know, many people tell me all religions are the same. Whatever you believe, just be sincere. Ladies and gentlemen, they are not the same. They are diametrically opposed to each other. Compare the teachings of each religion. They are opposed to each other. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except through me." That's opposed to every other religion. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." So one day you have to make up your mind. But in the meantime, the Bible says, look at Jesus, what he did. He humbled himself. And then what did he do? Everybody read this. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. The word "empty" does not mean he stopped becoming God. No, no. He humbled himself. He stopped using his rights. He took the form of a bondservant. That's his humility. Being made in the likeness of men. That's already humble. But he went beyond being a man. He could have been a prince, but he decided to be born in a manger, a bondservant. And then look at verse 8. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Jesus humbled himself, not just by becoming a man, but by becoming a slave. That's the word for bond slave, the lowest kind of man. He came to serve us. He not only became a man, he not only became a servant. The Bible tells us he was willing to die. He not only willingly died for us, then he went lower to the point of what? Death, even death on a cross. My friend, that is the humility of Jesus. To the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, to show you the contrast, I was reading a book by an article by John Piper. When Queen Elizabeth II went to America, her luggage, she took around 4,000 pounds of luggages. Now, if you fly international, how many pounds are you allowed per person? It's luggage, it's what? Isn't it there's a limit? What, less than 50 pounds maybe? Now, if you are a special member, maybe they allowed you to have two, whatever. But Queen Elizabeth II, 4,000 pounds of luggages. She has two wardrobes for every occasion. That those people going with her, believe it or not, they won't fix her hairdo, okay? And then she has toilet seats, okay? Toilet seat, white toilet seat, lots of them. Because every toilet she will use, they put a special cover. That's called queen. That's a queen. Do you understand? When Jesus came to this world, what did he do? Very simple. Born in a manger. That's humility. You now see the difference between real Christianity and the ways of the world. You and I are to be radically different. We are to be like Christ. The more I meet people who are godly, the more I get to know godly people, I see their humility. There is something about godly people who are filled with the Spirit of God. You can sense. The closest thing to godliness, if you ask me, is humility. How are you doing so far? All right? How do we learn to be humble? Be humble like Christ. Say that with me. Be humble like Christ. He surrendered his rights. You be willing to surrender. And then what must you do? Serve. Now, you got to surrender in order to serve. Because it is not always easy to serve. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 10, even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but did not come to be served, but to serve. To give his life a ransom for many. You have to give up your rights many times in order to serve. Let me tell you the story of this lady doctor. Her name is Helen Rosevear. Helen Rosevear was a medical doctor in Africa. Now, during those years when she was a doctor, the hospital in Africa was really backward. They don't have enough logistics. There's not enough provisions. So she was getting irritated. The people were not trained very well. So her temper was short. Her attitude was becoming negative. An African pastor saw what was happening. This black African pastor asked Dr. Helen, I want you to come to my house and take a retreat for 2 days. Don't work. Just be alone for 2 days until your attitude improves. So Dr. Helen was alone. After the first day, she knew she was in trouble. You know why? She confessed. She went to look for the African pastor. And he was sitting beside the fire. And Dr. Helen said, Pastor, something is wrong. My prayers are not going over the ceiling. I feel when I pray, it's just bouncing back. What's wrong with me? And the African pastor put out his foot, no shoes, barefoot, and he drew in the dust. He drew a straight line. He said, Helen, the problem is when you serve, you are full of I. I notice when you drink coffee, you hold the cup of coffee with two hands. You wait until it is not so hot anymore. I suggest every day, when you're holding that cup of coffee, I want you to pray. You say, Lord, cross the I, take away the I in my ministry. So he put his foot down, put a across the I. Lord, remove the I. And Helen said, that very night, he saw a shadow. The shadow of a cross. She said, I finally realized to serve God, to serve people, is to serve like Jesus. Her attitude changed. Because you can serve God full of stuff, or you can serve God like Christ. The question is, are you learning to be like Christ? Surrender your rights. Serve people. I am reminded of these two sisters. They were the best of friends. Grew up together. So irritated. This kept on going. Now, in college, and they're in the same dorm, and you know how the clothes can be mingled up together, and she was so irritated. Now, she attended a seminar for college kids. And the seminar has to do with surrendering your rights. It has to do with developing virtues, humility, trusting God to take care of your rights. So she decided, Lord, I've been bothered. I've been so irritated with my sister. It's all about my clothes. So, Lord, I surrender. Well, she came home. Everything so far so good. After a few days, guess what happened? The younger sister used the clothes without permission. And when the older sister came home, she saw her favorite clothes. Use. And not placed back properly. Then her younger sister came home. But everything was quiet. So the younger sister looked at her. Sarah, are you going to say something? Because Sarah would usually yakety, 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 yak. Understand? When you're irritated, you just keep talking and talking. But this time she was quiet. And then the younger sister said, are you going to say something? The older sister said, say what? You know, about the clothes. You know. She said, what clothes? You know, your clothes. She said, they are no longer my clothes. I surrendered them to Jesus. She surrendered her rights to all her properties. So if you are using her clothes, that's not mine, that's the Lord. I have discovered something. God does not usually change others until we are changed. Many times you want to change your husband, you want to change your wife. But I suggest, many times, God wants you to change first. Are you willing to surrender your rights? Let me give you an example of rights in order to serve others. The right to be treated fairly. Is that something that you cling on? I want justice. You need to treat me fairly. Well, I learned just the other day, one of our members' son was a union member in California. And the union went on strike. But our member, the son who grew up in CCF, decided not to join the strike because he has a higher law. The higher law is the Bible. Submit to the governing authorities. So the union members turned against him. They threw tomatoes, eggs, whatever they can throw at these people going to work. But I noticed something. When you surrender your rights for how people will feel about you, how you want to be treated. Who takes over? God. So I warn people, be careful when you take advantage of Christians. Don't do that. Especially Christians who are meek, who are gentle. Because God is opposed to the proud, but He gives what? Grace to the humble. Let me give you some application on how do you serve God sacrificially. Now, usually, give up your rights and then you serve. Can you read this verse one more time, everybody? For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give His life a ransom for many. I don't know about you. I realize humility is not just talking. Humility is being conscious of the fact that, number one, I'm selfish by nature, but number two, I got to serve others. Now, who are the people you need to serve? May I suggest, begin at home. Who should you serve next after your home? Next, the people around you. Next, our community. And I'm going to share with you how to do that in a short one. But before I do that, let me tell you the story of Taylor University. Have you heard of Taylor University? Taylor University is a Christian university. Many years ago, they had the first black student from Africa to go to Taylor University. And the president was so excited to show this black student Taylor University. So he brought him around. He showed him all the dorm. And at the end of the tour, he said, "Which room do you like to stay?" The black student looked at him. "If there is a room that no one wants, give that room to me." When the president heard that statement, he began to cry. He never heard of anyone saying, "Give me a room that nobody wants." You know, I look at my life, I am very fast. I will be the first to choose the best room. I will be the first to choose the best seat. That's me. But you know what? Jesus tells us, the last shall be first, and the first last. So, here are some suggestions to serve sacrificially. Everybody read this together. If there's a room that no one wants, give that room to me. If there's a job that no one wants to do, I'll do the job. If there's a menial task that no one wants to do, I'll volunteer for that task. If there's a piece of toast that's burned, I'll take that piece. When I read this verse, I think of my wife. I think of my mother. My wife is sacrificial. She will take what nobody else will take. Everybody, you got to read this. If there's a parking space that's far away from the church, I will park in that space. Comprende? I'm preparing you. When we move to the new building, you look for the farthest parking space, all right? The young one, the old ones, it's okay. We have a senior place for you. If there's a service time that's less convenient for people, I'll worship at that service. I praise God for the evening crowd. You are decongesting that prime time, the 10 o'clock, the 12 o'clock, the 2:30, okay? I hope you are here, not because you have to watch Manny Pacquiao. If there is hardship someone has to endure, I'll take that hardship. If there's a sacrifice someone needs to make, I'll make that sacrifice. Now, humanly speaking, you will say, "This guy's stupid." Unless He believes in the promise of God. What's the promise of God? The last shall be first. He that humbles himself will be exalted. And that's why only Christians can truly practice humility. Because Christians, you have a different mindset. You don't serve men. You don't serve organizations. You and I serve the Lord. For me, it's a privilege to serve. We have many leaders here who are serving God without pay. They give of their time. They give of their resources. If you ask them, are you doing God a favor? They will say, it is a privilege. So I want to give you an opportunity to practice humility. How do you be humble like Christ? Say that with me. Be humble like Christ. Surrender your rights and serve sacrificially. Now, how do you do that? We are going to launch a CCF movement of transformation. What do I mean? We have put up an organization under CCF for good works. Good works. Dedicated to help the poor. We met with the mayor recently of Pasig. And we asked the mayor, Mayor, what can we do to help Pasig? And the mayor told us, help us with the out of school youth. We began to research. What do you mean by out of school youth? We discovered that in the Philippines, 60% of students who will start in elementary drop out by high school. They don't finish. 60%. Imagine what will happen to these people when they grow up. Not high school graduates. What kind of family, what kind of jobs will they have? So we told the mayor, all right, I will tell the church, I will report to the church, and we will start a movement in Pasig first. If this project will work, we will move to other cities. But we will first target how many? 1,200 students. Let me show you the video. We'd like to show a short video of this movement we plan to do. All right? So what you do, you get a piece of paper that will tell you more about how you can help. We need volunteer teachers. You pray about it. It takes 500 pesos a month to sponsor a kid. You pray about it. People will say, well, you guys are crazy. You know, to be humble is not easy. At the same time, it is easy. Hard, not natural. But when you allow Christ in your life, it becomes easier. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's a bit easier. Let's close with Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. The great motivation. What should motivate you? Let's read this together. For this reason, also, God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Those who are in heaven, on earth, under the earth, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible tells us the reality. God will exalt the humble. Humility results in exaltation. But you and I cannot be humble until we take the first step. We need to submit ourselves, to surrender ourselves to Jesus. Who is Jesus according to this verse? Everybody, let's look at this verse. At the name of Jesus, every knee. What is the meaning of the word every knee? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee. In heaven, do you know of any beings in heaven? It does not matter. Whatever beings are there in the universe out there, every knee will bow to Jesus. The Bible says every knee, those who are on earth, every knee will bow. And those under the earth, they'll bow to Jesus. And every tongue, everybody read that with me. Read that together. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. What is the meaning to confess that Jesus is Lord? There are two kinds of people in this room. Two kinds. Only two kinds. The first one, Jesus is your Lord today. The second one, someday you will be forced to bow down to Jesus and acknowledge Him as your Lord. The first one, those who are present today and Jesus is your Lord, the Bible guarantees you exaltation. The Bible guarantees us salvation because Jesus is our Lord. To those who have not recognized Jesus as Lord, to those who are living a double life, deep down in your heart, Jesus is not your Lord. You are simply playing games. The Bible says someday you will bow down to Him. I would rather I bow to Jesus now, willingly, out of love. You see, I am not forced to bow down. I choose to bow down to Jesus. Because He loves me. He died for me. I love Him. It's a volunteering spirit on my part. I bow to Jesus. I surrender to Him. But someday, the Bible tells us, the whole world will bow down to Him. Now, I do not know which one you are in. This message will only become meaningful to you if you surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus. And you say, Jesus, because you are my Lord, I will now follow you. The pastor and I met this week to discuss what are the other sins of pride. Pride means self-will. Pride means we are in control. And I was shocked. We came up with 40 plus sins. Believe it or not, many other sins are because of pride. Perhaps you are struggling with other sins, but you don't realize the root sin is pride. And that's why this is very important. The Bible says someday, Jesus Christ, everybody will confess Him. King of kings and Lord of lords. So I want to give you a chance tonight. Before you go and get that form, I want to make sure tonight you have made that decision. Be humble before God. And say, Lord, I have never recognized You as my Lord. I know You as my Savior. I think You are my Savior. But I have never surrendered to You as my Lord. Now, the moment Jesus is your Lord, you follow Him. You cannot be a Christian and not expect to follow Jesus. That's why the Lordship of Jesus has to be taught clearly. Is He Lord of all, or He is not Lord at all? To have Jesus as your Lord does not mean you are perfect, but it means your direction in life is very clear. My direction in life is very clear. I'm following Jesus. Direction determines destination. Some of you, your direction is the opposite. God is this way, but your direction in life is tough. You are going another way. Intention does not determine destination. It is always direction. Many years ago, I had made a directional change in my life. I have come to Jesus and I said, Jesus, You are my Lord. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But I learn to humble myself and say, Lord, I will follow You. And the Bible tells me He gives me grace. You see, I'm not here to prove I'm better than anybody. Because I embrace the promise of Jesus. He gives grace to the humble. Proud people don't want Jesus to be the Lord. No, no. I want to run my own life. Just this lunchtime, I was with somebody telling me what happened to her counseling. This girl told this particular lady, I will never want to listen to anybody. Nobody's going to tell me to do blah, 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 blah. Nobody's going to tell me to go back to blah, 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 blah. And when I heard that statement, I said, my goodness, this girl is full of pride. But she doesn't see it. There is rebellion in her heart. Refusal to listen to any counselor. Because they are trying to help this family. Refusal to listen. My friend, only two kinds of people. Let's bow our heads. And I pray that you will humble yourself and say, Lord Jesus, today, November 13, I will make a commitment. You will be my Lord in every area of my life. Will you pray that prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I've been in control of my life. I've been deceiving you. I've been deceiving myself. I've never really recognized you as my Lord. Lord, you know I'm not perfect. But I want to change direction tonight. I want to turn to you. Lord Jesus, I bow down to you today. You are my Lord. You are my King. And because I want to follow you, I ask you to give me the grace to be humble, to surrender my rights to you, to surrender my future to you, and help me to serve others because of you. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen.